محمد وآل محمد صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: أيبتغون عندهم العزة فإن العزة لله جميعا. وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا عز أعز من التقوى. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The subject of my speech tonight is the concept of عزت and عزت النفس in Islam. If you turn to the Holy Quran and the Ahadith of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we find that Izzat is something which is considered to be belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the light of the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we learn that only those people are considered to be Aziz, that means Ahlul Izzah, Ahlul Izzat and Mu'azzaz, who have Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taqwa. So the muttaqi, mu'min people are the only ones who are called mu'azzaz and aziz, having dignity. And those people who do not have iman and do not have the taqwa have nothing to do with the value of izzat in Islam. Literally speaking, if you find out the meaning of this word in the dictionary of the Arabic language, izzat, this word is used for that kind of earth which is hard enough that no one can dig it, no one can penetrate into it. So literally speaking, if you open up the dictionary, the meaning of the word izzat in Arabic means unpenetrable. And anything which is unpenetrable, which obviously when it is applied in the istilahi and technical meanings of or Islamic morality, what we mean by izzat is that a person who has there is no way anyone from the outside can penetrate into his spirituality in any sense. So in your ruhaniyat, if there is no impact from the outside in your ruhaniyat, and your ruhaniyat is the way it is, no forces which are non-mahram to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's walayat and tawheed can have any impact on your ruhaniyat. If your ruh is like that, then you are entitled to be called as aziz and mu'azzaz. On the other hand, if there is a person whose ruhaniyat is vulnerable to any outside attacks and penetrations, anything from outside, those who have nothing to do with Allah, can influence you, ta'fir, on your qalb and your ruhaniyat, you can get influenced. You travel to New York for 2 months and you come back as a different person. You go to London, you go to Australia, you go to wherever, and you find this mu'min used to pray, he used to fast, he used to go for Karbala, he used to go for Hajj. Right now, he's a different person. He doesn't care about his prayers, he doesn't care about his fasting, doesn't care about his deen. This means he was not mu'azzaz, he didn't have the izzat in Islam. And the izzat of Ahlul Bayt is proven to be there if no one can influence your qalb. Your soul is uninfluenceable. This is the whole concept of izzat. And we have been witnessing a lot of ta'keed and emphasis from Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhimussalam on maintaining our izzat, our Islamic dignity. Allah has given a dignity to a mu'min, and all the izzat we enjoy is because of the fact we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't have the right to compromise our izzat either, you know, just because we can't say, well, it's my choice, it's my freedom, it's my wish, whatever I want to do. And this is not your choice, because izzat that we carry in our qalb is an amanat of Allah. Islam considers the izzat you have in your soul is entirely because of the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an amanat in your head. You are carrying the amanat. It's not your property. It's not your property. If it was your property, you would have the right to say, that's my choice. Well, let me do whatever I wish. Well, that's acceptable if it is your thing. And something doesn't even belong to you, then let's apply the rule of the owner of the property. The owner of the property is Allah. So Quran has done hasr, hasrul izzah. That means inhisar. That means restricting and isolating the entire concept of izzat in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find in 3 of the ayats of Holy Quran. Before I get to those 3 ayats, I think this ayat is enough from Suratul Munafiqun, verse number 8, where Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So, basically, we learn in the light of this verse that izzat only and only belongs to Allah and His Messenger and the mu'mineen. So, izzat actually is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet has izzat because he is the Rasul. Mu'mineen have izzat because they have iman in Allah and Rasul. If the mu'min quit to have the iman and the prerequisites of that iman, they quit all the concepts and values, then they don't have no izzat. Doesn't matter they have what kind of money and wealth and maal and dunya and umur of dunya. It's not the criteria to judge who is mu'azzaz. If this is the criteria, whoever has a big house, he is mu'azzaz. Whoever has a nice car, so he is mu'azzaz. If that was the criteria, then the kuffar were all mu'azzaz. Isn't that right? So that is mean the Quran will be a kazib and liar. Na'udhu billah min zalik. Quran can never turn into a kazib and liar. So anybody who considers, anyone who considers other than mu'mineen and muttaqeen to be mu'azzaz is going against the Holy Quran. His mawqif is mudad, is against the mawqif of Quran. So we don't have the, if we have Iman in Quran, we don't have the right to consider anyone who is kafir and zalim to be muazzaz in our eyes. When they are not muazzaz in the eyes of Allah, who are we to consider them as muazzaz? And if we happen to respect them, that means we are disrespecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is considering only the mu'mineen to be honored, and we are considering those people who have nothing to do with Iman to be mu'azzaz. Isn't that right? That's exactly opposite to what Allah is saying. Allah is asking us to believe. So basically, no one has a right to call the kuffar to be mu'azzaz in Islam. In fact, they are zaleel and insulted in the eyes of Allah. You know, this story was, one of the ulama was mentioning this story, this qafila, caravan of king with his people is walking by in a city, and people come out, the jahil people, you know, they see, oh, king is going, let's go and see the king with all his people. And they have their so much, you know, nice dresses and golden dresses of gold, which is haram to wear on men, and silk dresses, which is haram to wear. There are so many people today who will wear the silk ties, isn't that right? And haram, it's haram in Islam to even buy a tie which is made of 100% silk with the niyat of wearing it. Even purchasing will be haram, and wearing will also be obviously haram in the fatwa of all the maraji, hafazahum Allah ajma'in. So we find this qafila was passing by, king is going with his people, and jahil people gathered to see them. And there was a very pious elderly woman. She took her head out of her window and peeped out the window to see what's going on, this all noise coming for war. And they see, oh, the king is passing by with his people, and so many people are standing outside to see him, and their wealth and their money and their abundance of maddi blessings that they have. This is what the people get inspired very quickly, maddi blessings, isn't it right? So this elderly woman had taqwa and the ma'rifat. She said, don't waste your time standing here to watch these people who have been insulted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't waste your time to watch those people who have been insulted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people are insulted by Allah, that Allah gave them the maal because they deserve to become zaleel in the eyes of Allah. This is a la'nat of Allah on them that they have more money. So don't see those who are manhus. But who has that kind of ma'rifat? So we find that unfortunately in the animals you never find this behavior. You can never find in Farsi, I've written a shair in Farsi which is very nice. It says that من ندیدم که سگی پیش سگی قد خم کرد. That means a human being can get down to what low level that you find the humans becoming khawir, bowing down in front of their fellow tahuts, fellow human beings, the zalimeen, for gaining money out of them. You never find a dog bending in front of a dog. You can never find a dog, although he is ainun najis, you will never find a dog, he will bend his head in front of another dog. Look at how lowly and zaleel a human can become, that he can bend in front of the tahut, tamalluq. So yeah, remember the story when Shah La'natullah Alayh of Iran, he sent his head of his istikbarat, his intelligence, General Pakravan. General Pakravan of the intelligence of Sawak, the intelligence of Shah. Now, this guy came and he said to Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayh that siyasat is something which is najis. And you and Shah is Shia. And you are a marje of tashayyu, of the Shia religion. You're not supposed to stand against the Shah, who himself is a Shia, and start doing siyasat, which is najis. And Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayh said that if Shah is a Shia and I am a marje, then he should follow me and you should not expect me to follow him. Second of all, if siyasat is najis, it's because of people like you serving as umala and puppets of Tahut who have made this siyasat as najis. Siyasat is the siratul anbiya wal a'imma alayhim as-salam. This is the seerat and tradition of all the prophets of God. Amir al-Mumir Islam says, khairu siyasat al-adl. Isn't that right? And if somebody throws garbage in our house, he said, we don't leave the house. If somebody brings a najis thing inside the house, we don't leave the house. We throw the garbage outside the house. If Shah has made this siyasat najis, we are going to throw the Amil and the puppet of Tahut out of the country to make it Tahir. This is called Izzat. This is called Izzat of Muslimin. So we find this Izzat is going to happen when we have Irtibat, we have Ta'alluq, we have trust and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This izzat is going to happen when we are not asirul hawa, when we are not a captive of our own desires. Some people are captive in the hands of their own wishes and desires. So they just get driven away, whatever their desires dictate. So those people who are themselves captives of their own desires and wishes, asirul hawa, they are not mu'azzaz, they are zaleel in the eyes of Allah, because they are Abdul Hawa, they are not Abdullah. So we become mu'azzaz when we become abdan lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come into the come out of the zul and zillat of the ubudiyat of the nafs, worshipping the desires. We come out of that zillat and insult and enter into the domain of the izzat and dignity of believing in Allah and obeying Allah and doing His ubudiyyah. That's how we become mu'azzaz and aziz. So this will require that we get rid of the hawa nafs and take a stand against tughyan and zulm and kufr and nifaq, and have istiqamat and resilience on our principles and values. This is what we learn in the Seerat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the unbending behavior towards the kufr and nifaq. And also our scholars have said there is a fine line between izzat and takabbur. Some of the concepts have been mixed up by some ignorant people. So one person came to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu was salam. And said to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that there is takabbur in you. And Imam alayhi salam replied that kibriya, you know, buzugwari and kibriya is something which is, in other words, maksus with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So greatness only belongs to Allah. And what he was trying to say is that what is found in my soul is the izzat, not the takabbur. Walillahi al-izzatu, walillahi al-izzatu, walirasulihi, walilmu'mineen. Just like the incident that happened in time of Imam Hassan al-Mustaba alayhi salam, where somebody said to him the similar thing, that there is takabbur in you. And he said, bal fiyya izzatun. Instead, in me is izzat. So there is a izzat, there is a difference between izzat and takabbur. A person who is doing takabbur, is relying on himself. Whereas a person who is doing izzat is relying on Allah. That's the difference between takabbir and mu'azzaz. So on whom are you relying? That's where the difference is known. And what a'mal and actions will also reveal the impacts of these two patterns. The biggest izzat comes because of izzat is actually because of our iman and taqwa. The hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, which I recited in the beginning of my speech, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "La izza a'azzu min at-taqwa." There is no dignity more dignified than taqwa. So the biggest izzat actually is because of taqwa. Well, you can be aziz because of your iman as well, but you're not there yet. You're not at the destination yet. Iman is not going to suffice for your izzat unless you have taqwa as well after the iman. That means you obey what Allah has commanded. So you add the taqwa on top of the iman. So actually, in the real sense, if you want to say, your taqwa determines your izzat in the eyes of Allah, not only the iman. Because iman is not sufficient for a person to go to Jannat. Al-Jannatu lil-Muttaqeen. Al-Jannatu lil-Muttaqeen. We don't find Al-Jannatu lil-Mu'mineen only. So we have, they have riwayat which are narrated by Allama Al-Hilli rahmatullahi alayh in his book, where he talks about the fact that those of the Shias who will be sent to Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. Allama Al-Hilli has narrated all those hadith from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, in the light of which we learn that some of the Shias will be sent to Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. And Allama Al-Hilli's book is considered to be so authentic that this book has been taught in every hausa, since more than three centuries. This book is part of the syllabus of the hausa since more than three centuries. So it's part of the nisab and official syllabus of every hausa. So basically, we do believe that some of the mu'mineen will go to Jahannam, because those of the mu'mineen who have done heinous crimes, jara'im, which cannot be cleared up in the time of barzakh, obviously Jannat is the place of taharat. No one can enter except the person who is tayyib and tahir. So you need to be clean. And cleaning on the Day of Judgment requires that we go to the hell and get it clean. Our souls become tahir with the tathir of the hellfire. That's how the souls are. Souls can be cleaned either by tawbah in our lifetime or be through going to the hell. That's how the souls have been made. Otherwise, if Allah forgives, which is not in our control, that's up to Allah. So after those mu'mini will be taken out, then they will be basically... Remember, I mentioned, I think, in one of my speeches that these mu'mineen will be dipped into the fountain of Hayawan. Remember when we talked about the team Hayawan in our Zainab camp? I mentioned this point, that there's a fountain inside Jannat which is called Hayawan, not Haywan. Hayawan. Hayawan in Arabic means life, pure life. So there's a nahr, there's a fountain in paradise which is called Hayawan, which means life. And this is the nahr which belongs to Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. And this fountain and nahr is composed of qatarat and the drops of Buka al-Husayn, qatarat and drops of people who are crying over Imam Husayn alayhi salam in this dunya. The angels are collecting these qatarat in qarura, in their special boxes, and taking away the qatarat of the tears of all those who are crying on Imam Husayn alayhi salam. And these qatarat are added constantly added into the fountain in paradise, which is called this nahar, which is called Hayawan, which means life. And Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Ja'far Shustari rahmatullah alayhi had said that the qatra, the teardrop, is saltish in its flavor. But when these qatarat are added into the nahar, into the fountain of hayawan, look at the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The qatra, the drop of a tear, is saltish, but when it is added into that fountain, that nahar, it will become sweet. And only those of the mu'mineen in Jannat will be allowed to drink from that nahar who have been dropping their tears on Imam Hussain alayhi salam in this dunya. So, coming back to the point which I was discussing, that after these of the mu'mineen who will be taken out of Jahannam, they will be, because of their great crimes towards Islam and the walayat of Ahlul Bayt or the Huququn Nas, these mu'mineen will be taken out from the Jahannam, and then they will be dipped into the fountain called Hayawan, because when they enter the paradise, they will have marks of burning, their skin, their body is burnt with the flames of fire. Isn't that right? Lahib, in the flame of fire, has burnt down their body, which is obvious, very, very obvious. Anybody can look, have a look at them and understand this guy is coming from Jahannam. So this will cause insult of a mu'min in front of the rest of the muttaqeen who are already in the paradise. Allah doesn't want a mu'min to get insulted. And this is the rahmat of Allah. In order to remove the marks of the Jahannam flames, Allah is going to dip him into the fountain of Hayawan belonging to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and because of that washing in that fountain, his whole body will get rid of any marks of burns in the hell. So the people in the Jannat cannot recognize that this person is coming from Jahannam. So coming back to the point which I was discussing, the hadith of Amir Mumin alayhi salam, where he said, La izza a'azzu min at-taqwa. There is no honor more honorable than taqwa. So actually, in the real sense, what I have mentioned to you is that in the real sense, the izzat is because of taqwa, not only for iman. Iman has izzat, but that's not sufficient, and that's not a guarantee you will go to Jannat until you couple your iman with taqwa. So actually, in the real sense, the izzat belongs to taqwa, because no one can be a muttaqi except a mu'min. You have to first have iman and belief, and then you have to have taqwa, obedience according to the belief. So until you obey, your belief is not sufficient to save you. Amir al-Mumneen alayhi salam, in his dua, has said this great statement, although all his statements are equally great. He says, Ilahi kafa bi izzan an akuna laka abda. Oh my Lord, this dignity is enough for me, that I am your slave. I am your abd. Me being your abd, this izzat is enough for me. So the biggest izzat, we understand in the light of this hadith, the biggest izzat of a mu'min is to be abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we understand that abd doesn't have his own free will. In old days, when people used to own slaves, did the mawla of the abd, the owner of the slave, will he allow him to make his personal decisions in the presence of the commands of the mawla? If you say yes, then you haven't read the history. No master is going to allow any of his purchased slaves to make any decision of their life on their own. The master used to take decisions, what they were supposed to do and what not, and the slave is supposed to follow and obey. That's how he's a slave. If he disobeys, then basically they used to get beaten up by those masters. And sometimes slaves used to run away. We call him in our fiqh Al-Abdul Abiq, the runaway slave. We have rules in our Sharia about the runaway slave. So runaway slave is the one who doesn't want to obey. So, هَلْ يَرْجِعُ الْعَبْدُ الْآبِقُ إِلَّا إِلَى مَوْلَاهُ. Isn't it right? In the dua, we find the Ma'asum alayhi salam is teaching us that is a runaway slave going to come back except to his Mawla? In other words, so we, if we do the tawbah, what the Ma'asum is trying to inform us, one of the things is this, that when we do the tawbah, the sin, we should do the tawbah and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the recipe. That's the solution to the problem of sin, that we come back and we seek mercy of Allah to accept us. Kamalan, this is one of the things. So, وَكَفَى بِفَخْرًا أَن تَكُونَ لِي رَبَّا. And then, and also Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, كَفَى بِفَخْرًا. This pride is enough for me, أَن تَكُونَ لِي رَبًّا. That you towards me are the Lord. You are my Lord. You being my Lord, this pride is enough for me. So Imam Ali doesn't need any other pride except that Allah is his Lord and he is Allah's slave. This is why he is Amir Mumin alayhi salam. Because he is at the peak and mi'raj of ubudiyat of Allah, and he did not even think of any disobedience in his mind. What to talk of doing it? The think of ma'siyat was impossible. They never used to think of any ma'siyat in their minds. This is their peak of obedience. Even Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, he used to
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
She used to call her husband as Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Even Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha used to call her as Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Look at the izzat that Imam Ali alayhi salam enjoys. He is the Imam and Amir of all the Imams, including Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. So everything, he is the Amir of everything, and the second most superior after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So izzat is the uluwut tab'a. That means the tab' and nature of the person. We hold ourselves high because we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we did his obedience. Now that we did his obedience, Allah will help us. So we have tawakkul on Allah's help and we rely on Allah's help. So we hold ourselves high in front of the challenges that we face from kuffar and munafiqeen and zalimeen. This is the concept of izzat in Islam. So we don't have tama, greed in what the ahlul dunya people have. We don't care about what the people have. We have tama and greed in what Allah has. So, أدنى التوكل أن تكون ما بيد الله أوثق عندك مما بيده. So, توكل is that you should have awsaq, you should have more trust in what is in the hand of Allah. You have more trust on that as compared to your reliance on what you have in your hand. I have $50,000, so I'm safe. I can pay the fees and college fees of my son. Oh, so you are relying on your $50,000 instead of relying on Allah? Do you have a guarantee your $50,000 are not going to go away after one day? Maybe I can run into an accident on the street and I have a huge bone surgery and I have to spend $80,000. Isn't that possible? So tawakkul is defined that you have more trust in what is in the hand of Allah as compared to what you have in your own hand. That means you don't even rely on what you have in your hand, you rely on what is in Allah's control. This is called tawakkul. If people had that kind of values, al-qiyamul ilahiyya, our life would have been easy and easy to live. Because we are connected to the limitless power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? Instead of relying on our limited resources, we will be relying on the limitless. Everything of Allah is limitless. Everything of ours is limited. So we get connection with the limitless. That's the real power. Allah wants us to fly, fly up from the attachments of this limited world and get connected with the limitless. So our soul has the power to fly with these ibadat and prayers and fasting. And the Prophet has said, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. So we fly, our souls fly. We do the mi'raj and ascension when we pray. Or we are supposed to do that at least. So there's no room for tamah. What I was saying is that when the concept of izzat arrives, it gives us a spiritual highness. We'll feel high in front of the kuffar and munafiqeen. Why? Because we are now relying on Allah, who is all high and almighty, omnipotent Lord. And it will get us rid of the tamah and greed in what the Ahl al-Dunya own. We will not be greedy towards what they have. We will have greed in what Allah has. And we will have more trust in what Allah has in His control to provide us than what we ourselves have in our hands. This I'm talking about some of the benefits of Izzat in Islam. And also it will get us rid of chaplusi, tamalluq, buttering up of kuffar and tawagheet and munafiqeen. فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ یہ دوران مید دوان بے سورِ کفار بازی دوڑے چلے جا رہے ہیں کافروں کے پیچھے دوڑے چلے جا رہے ہیں ان کو مکھن بازی میں فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ You see those who have illness in their heart يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ Running towards them يَقُولُونَ نَخْشَ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ They say we are afraid some problem can fall on us. Oh, so you are looking at the problem. You are not looking at مُسَبِّبُ الْأَسْبَابِ and خَالِقُ الْأَسْبَابِ Allah. Isn't it right? So there is a lack of tawakkul. Because lack of tawakkul is because you did not fulfill your fariza. If you had fulfilled your fara'id, you would have been relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah never leaves mu'mineen alone. Quran says, Kana haqqan alayna nasrul mu'mineen. It's a right upon us to help the mu'mineen. Allah never leaves the mu'mineen alone. So we don't get the victory from Allah because we did not fulfill the prerequisites of our iman. We did not fulfill the muqtadayat al-iman, iman ke taqaze. Okay, so the next benefit is that it gets us getting rid of the chaplosi tamalluq policy of some people, and it gets us run away from every kind of ihanat and insults. A person who has izzat, he never gets insulted. He's always mu'azzaz. When you hold to the habl of Allah, the rope of God, when you are grabbing the hablullah, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَإِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ Grab the rope of Allah جميعًا altogether وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا and don't get divided, right? Dispersed and divided. So basically, when we are grabbing the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah's power and strength and absolute qudrat, then no one can insult us because no one can insult Allah. Just like no one can insult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, similarly no one can insult a mu'min. A mu'min will continue to live a respectable life and dignified life without anybody degrading and insulting him. So this is the honor and dignity that Allah has provided us to live a life of dignity like this. And several ahkam in our sharia are custom made and molded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us izzat. And one of those ahkam, on the top of those ahkam, the list is jihad. And Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi alayha, in her khutbah that she delivered, the khutbah and sermon she delivered in the darbar of the Tahut of her time, she said in her khutbah, and that is narrated in A'yan al-Shia, where Hazrat Zahra talking about jihad, she says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْجِهَادَ إِزَّا لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَزُلًّا لِأَهْلِ الْكُفْرِ وَالنِّفَاقِ. She's talking about why Allah legislated some of those laws that she mentioned in her khutbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has made jihad izzat for Islam and zillat for those who belong to kufr and nifaq. So as long as we learn in the light of this beautiful hadith, as long as the people continue doing the fariza of jihad fi sabilillah, they will continue to be mu'azzaz. And when any nation will quit this fariza, they will become zaleel. مَا غُزِيَ قَوْمٌ فِي عُقْرِ دَارِهِمْ إِلَّا ذَلُّ. Isn't that right? Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam said in Nahj al-Balagha, صدق Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. Certainly he said the truth. مَا غُزِيَ قَوْمٌ فِي عُقْرِ دَارِهِمْ. There is no nation who got foreign powers, foreign attacks, foreign enemy comes in their own house, occupies their house. فِي عُقْرِ دَارِهِمْ. People from the outside come and occupy their country, their house, except they would become zaleel. Whenever a nation allows a foreign, person to come or people to come and occupy your house, you will become zaleel. مَا غُزِيَ قَوْمٌ فِي عُقْرِ دَارِهِمْ إِلَّا ذَلُّ. صدق أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام. So Prophet Sunnah of Rasulullah, he never used to allow the kuffar to come inside. When he heard the news that the Dawlat al-Rum, the Roman Empire, is about to attack Muslims, Prophet marched all the way. He went from Medina towards Tabuk, Ghazwat al-Tabuk, all the way up north towards Syria. Isn't that right? Because Prophet had hikmat and wisdom of Allah. He never used to tolerate the kuffar coming inside the Islamic country. This is zillat of Islam. So he goes all the way outside, all the way towards north, close to the out border of Islamic government, so that he can stop and do the difa, and stop the hujum of kuffar outside, at that area, before they enter into Islamic hukumat and government. He can block them in those areas outside. This is the hikmat of Rasulullah. مَا غُزِيَ قَوْمٌ فِي عُقْرِ دَارِهِمْ إِلَّا ذَلُّ. So now coming to those ayat of Holy Quran, first ayat is what I recited from Surah Al-Munafiqun, verse number 8, and the second, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So we learn in the light of this verse that all the izzat belongs to Allah and His Messenger and the Mu'mineen. So no one else has izzat in Islam. No one else has izzat except Allah and His Messenger and the Mu'mineen. You want to have izzat? You have to be a Mu'min. And the second ayah is from Surah An-Nisa, verse 139. أَيَبْتَهُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Are they seeking izzat next to them, close to them? In other words, all the izzat belongs to Allah. In other words, man kana yuridu al-izzata falillahi al-izzatu jami'a. The third verse says, whoever wants izzat, so all the izzat, so to Allah belongs all the izzat. So it is very clear that basically izzat is something which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet had said once to his ashab that Ala tubayyuni, are you guys not going to do bay'at with me? Oath of allegiance, bay'at. And the Ashab replied, yes, we are ready to do bay'at with you. But we do bay'at, we are ready to, in other words, to perform bay'at with you. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tubayyuni alayya an la tas'alu an-nasa shay'an. Do bay'at that you are not going to ask people nothing. So mu'min doesn't insult himself. We don't extend our hands to the people and start begging to the people and ask people to do things for us. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, Shi'atuna Shi'atuna man la yas'alu an-nasa shay'an walau mata ju'an. Our Shias don't ask the people nothing, even though they may die hungry, out of hunger. Shi'atuna la man la yas'alu an-nasa shay'an walau mata ju'an. Another hadith says, man sa'ala min ghayri faqrin fa innama ya'kulul khamr. And also the Imam says, whoever asks the people without being poor, you're not faqir, but you're still asking the people. This guy who, if anybody asks the people, although he's not faqir, then he is drinking khamr and alcohol. Innama ya'kulu al-khamr. And another hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, man sa'ala an-nasa wa indahu qutu salasati ayyamin laqiya Allah ta'ala yawm al-qiyamati yawm yalqahu wa laysa fi wajhihi lahmun. Whoever has food for 3 days and he still asks the people, this guy is going to meet Allah on the day he would meet him, where he would have no flesh on his body. That means all the flesh would have been dropped and gone. So basically in Islam, in other words, we don't turn to the people and beg to the people. Well, turning to the people is condemned, but turning to your fellow mu'min brother is not condemned. We have been asked to at least say our hajat to some mu'min. Turning to a mu'min is turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a mu'min is supposed to behave how the Sharia has said, isn't that right? So when you turn to him, you are actually turning to a representative of God. A mu'min is supposed to represent Allah, isn't that right? And before we come close to the end, we find that in the seerat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, it has been emphasized to work hard to maintain our izzat. And also in another hadith, we find a person came who was a poor person. He came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said, please do dua for me. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replied that, I will do dua. Iyaka an tukhbir an-nasa bi kulli halika. So be warned, that means don't tell the people of all of your conditions so that you get insulted in front of them. So we don't do that. We have a dignity that we don't get ourselves insulted in front of people. You can tell some mu'min whom you trust, at least he can pray for you, which is also a help, a big help. If he cannot physically or financially help you, he can pray for you. It's a very big help. But so we are allowed to tell some mu'min and not turn to the people. When Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam was in the zindan, in the prison of Harun Rashid la'natullahi alayhi, and he sent his wazir to Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam in the prison. And this guy came and he saw Imam Kazim alayhi salam is busy in the salat, in the prayers. He finishes one prayer and he stands again and prays another prayer. He finishes another and stands again to say another prayer. He's constantly busy in prayers, one after the other. Finally, then this guy got a slot to talk to the Imam. We find that his name was Rabi. This guy Rabi, when he found a slot to talk to the Imam, he said, "Well, Harun Rashid asks you, tell us what kind of food do you like, so he can send you that food." Imam alayhi salam replied, "La hawra mali fayanfa'uni walam ukhlaq sa'ulan." Which means that, in other words, that I don't have no money, that can benefit me, and I'm not created as a person who asks. So basically, he didn't tell nothing to that person. This istighna, izzul mu'min ghinahu anin nas. How Imam Rida alayhi salam says, izzat of a mu'min is that he is ghani, he is mustaghni, he is beniyaz. He doesn't, you know, he don't become muhtaj towards the people. Ghinahu anin nas. This is the izzat of a mu'min. Yeah. That's how Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have taught us, and that's how their supporters have been. When Uthman ibn Affan sent his ghulam to go to Abu Dharr rahmatullahi alayh wa salamullahi alayh, and Uthman said to his ghulam, "Go to Abu Dharr and give him this money. If you can make Abu Dharr accept this money, I will set you free." This guy is a slave of Uthman. "I will set you free. Just give this money. Just make sure you give this money to him and he accepts it." But this slave of Uthman goes to Abu Dharr rahmatullah alayh and says, "You know, you have to accept the money because he has said, if you accept it, I will be free. So for the sake of making me free." And Hazrat Abu Dharr rahmatullah alayh, he replied that, "In kana fihi itquka, in kana fihi itquka, fa inna fihi riqqi." If in this money lies your freedom, then certainly in this money lies my slavery as well. Lies my slavery. So if you get, you are becoming free by giving me this money, I will become a slave by accepting the money. So he rejected it. And then he said, "La hajata fi li fi dhalika," I don't have no need in that. "Yakfi Aba Dharr siqatuhu billah." That means siqa and trust on Allah is enough for Abu Dharr. So trusting in Allah is enough. Trust of Abu Dharr is enough for Abu Dharr. Trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how these ashab have been trained by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So when Jibreel came, he used to come to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Jibreel came, not once, several times Jibreel used to come in the form of humans, in the form of human beings. So Abu Dharr was coming to talk to the Prophet, and he found that there's somebody else sitting with the Prophet and talking to him. It's in the akhlaq of Islam, in the Islamic morality, we don't interrupt, isn't that right? So he went aside. So Jibreel said to Rasulullah that, in other words, that, "I wish Abu Dharr would have come here, so we would have said salam to Abu Dharr." And that's where Jibreel mentioned to the Prophet that Abu Dharr has a dua, which is, in other words, ma'roof, which is famous, which is known among Ahlus Sama, among the angels of the heaven. There is a dua that Abu Dharr recites, which is known to the angels of the heaven. So the angels of the heaven love that dua, in other words. And they also want to read the same dua which Abu Zar reads. I'm not telling the words of the narration, I'm telling you what we learn in the light of this narration. So, or at least I would say the angels like his dua. They recognize and know this dua. So the dua which Abu Jibreel mentioned to the Holy Prophet, which Abu Zar used to read, was Allahumma inni as'aluka al-imana bika wa tasdeeqa bi nabiyyika. Oh my Lord, I ask you iman in you and tasdeeq, certifying your messenger, wal afiyata min jami'il bala', and getting protected from all the sins and all the problems. That means we continue to follow the path of ita'at and obedience of Allah away from all the troubles, in other words. Shukra ala al-afiyah, and I ask from you, in other words, that you give me the tawfiq to do shukr and being grateful on towards you over the afiyat. Wal ghina an shirari nas, and to be not to become muhtaj towards the evil people. That means we keep away from the evil people.